Is it here? Morning, Faith Walkers. We're finally going to wrap up 1st and 2nd Peter. 1st and 2nd Peter is the 60th and 61st book of the Bible. And when the Holy Spirit writes a different book, he just already assumes that the children of God have been good stewards of God's word. So we've already mastered all the other 59 books of the Bible. So that when we come to the 60th book, when he mentions terms in here, he already assumes that we understand what they mean. Like those are in the faith, the day of the Lord, the last days. We're supposed to know all of this already before we get into it. If you don't, you're going to be lost. So I'm going to do a little review. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this earth," because God's kingdom is eternal. But this kingdom on earth is conditional. That's why men who are born in the flesh, in Adam, can't accept eternal things. Even if we see the word eternal, we automatically disconnect in our brains and we think it means conditional. That's our sin nature. We just reject God from the day we are born. So when we master the other 59 books, the Holy Spirit, God doesn't want to keep repeating himself over and over and over again. That's why it's important to know these terms before we get to them. About 7 years ago, we did a study in the book called The Gospel in Genesis, because that's where sin started. You have to start there or else you're going to be lost throughout the whole Bible. And the whole book was about if your premise is off, then your findings are going to be off. If I aim a rocket at the moon, and my premise is off by just 1 degree down here on this earth, then by the time that rocket reaches the distance of the moon, it's going to miss the moon by 1,000 miles. So if our premise is off when we first start reading the Bible, because we bumped into a false teacher before we started reading the Bible, and he gave you the wrong premise, then when you read the Bible, you're going to miss the gospel that's in the Bible by 1,000 miles. So the premise in Genesis is not how good or bad we are. God still loves us. It's just like our children. We don't, you know, we care that they're bad, but we love them when they're good, but still, we love them nonetheless. And because God created us, he's responsible to give us everything we need for life and for godliness. And when he gives it to us, it's always for free. If it rains today, God's not going to charge you for it. It's for free. Because he knows he's responsible for my life here on earth and for life in eternity. If we breathe his air, he's not going to charge us. It's for free. It's by grace. If he wants us to live with him in eternity, he gives it to us for free. Eternity is a free gift. And like Greg was saying, Jesus is coming back the second time to wrap up this world as we know it, this conditional world. And he's going to make it eternal. He's going to usher in a new heaven, new earth, which is going to be eternal. But in order to exist in the eternal kingdom, in order to populate in the eternal city, you have to have an eternal life, or else why would you go? And God makes it very, very easy for us because he loves us and he doesn't want us to perish. So he had to give it to us for free. That's why he's the God of grace. That means for free. If grace cost 1 penny, it wouldn't be grace. It would be a purchase. Can I buy your grace, God, for a penny? He says, no. Why not? It's for free. How about 2 pennies? But that's the way we are. We just can't receive a free gift from God. It's impossible because we don't believe it. We live in a conditional world. So we just automatically dismiss it. So if we miss that premise, you're going to miss the premise throughout the whole Bible. So it's not how good or bad we are when we're born from the seed of Adam, but it's how spiritually dead we are. We can't accept eternal things. That's what it means to be spiritually dead, eternal things. We can't understand because we live conditionally. We love to see before we can believe. That's why the Bible says we don't live by sight, but by faith. And that's another thing we have to understand, or else you're going to miss the Bible. But it's how spiritually dead we are when we're born through the seed of Adam. Now, Adam was alive to his spirit, but he was dead to God's spirit because he decided to become a sinner. And the Spirit of God had to move out of him because God can't live in a dirty house. And that's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, Saint Nick, because you think you are so self-righteous as a Pharisee, you need to humble yourself and become born again of the spirit that you lost in Adam. Because what does a living God have in common with a spiritual dead man? Absolutely nothing. Because God is spirit. So if you must worship God in his spirit and in his truth, well, then he's got to figure out a way to do it. Because he's responsible for your eternity. He's responsible for everything he's given you, for life and for godliness, or he wants to give you because he created you. It's like my dad. If I break a window, my dad's got to pay for it because I can't. But before God could allow sinful man before God could allow his spirit to live in sinful man, in other words, before there could be an act at Pentecost, there had to be a sacrificial lamb at the cross. Because you can't have one without the other. What we had to be made white as snow. We had to be made spotless in God's sight. Before God could send his Holy Spirit to live in us so that we could have a relationship with God again, just like he had with Adam before Adam decided to become a sinner. So Peter reminds us in the first chapter what Christ had to do for us in order to be in the faith. He had to die so that we could have his life and his righteousness living in us, so that we could be made spotless and blameless in God's sight. So God had to do this for us, what we couldn't do for ourselves. Make us white as snow so that we could take the next step in obedience and choose his life to live in us. Because first comes life, and then comes change. It's pretty hard to change a dead man. And when we choose to receive his life and his righteousness, because we have no righteousness of our own, to live in us by faith, God saves us in the blink of an eye. That's called saving faith. But growing in the faith called truth takes time. Growing in grace and truth and maturing in the faith takes a lot of time. And who is the truth? It's Jesus. So how long will we be saved? And the answer is, it all depends on which God we choose to worship. Do you know that God must give us the freedom to choose our own destiny? By choosing which God we choose to worship. Because if he didn't, we would be robots. We would be programmed to do his will instead of wanting to do his will. That's why there's false teaching out there that says that God made some robots to go to hell and he made some robots to go to heaven. That's not the case. We get to choose our own destiny by choosing which God we want to believe in. So it's not an issue, are you politically correct or politically incorrect? Or are you on the religious left or are you on the religious right? The issue is, as faith walkers, are we on the right side of God or are we on the wrong side of God? Are we on the right side of God in Christ? Or are we on the wrong side of God still in Adam, spiritually dead? Do you know that God respects our free will so much that he even gives us the freedom to choose what kind of security we want in Christ? So that we could have peace with God while we're here on this earth, waiting for his second coming to judge the living and the dead, those who are in the spirit and those who are still in the flesh. That's why John tells us in the book of Revelations, when Christ comes back to judge the living and the dead, he's going to find three categories of people on this earth. Lost Jews, lost Gentiles, and the saved church called the Ecclesia, made up of both born-again Jews, born-again Gentiles of the Spirit. So if we want eternal security in Christ, then God will give us his eternal Son, the second Adam, Jesus Christ the Lord. And you might as well call him the last Adam because there are no more Adams coming. But if we want a conditional security living in us, then all we have to do is just stay the way we are. Stillborn in the nature of the first Adam, still trying to do it my way. That's why people who have a conditional security living in them are scared to death of dying, because they know they haven't made themselves perfect. They know it's not finished. Jesus didn't come to save the nations at his first coming. He came to save individuals so that we could have a relationship with God. And when we have a relationship with God, then we go to the nations and proclaim the good news of the gospel, not the good news of my local church, but the gospel according to Jesus Christ the Lord. The gospel that stepped out of heaven on two clean feet. The same gospel that Peter and all the other writing apostles are warning us to preach so that we could remain spotless and blameless in the last days. That's why Peter tells us Be certain of your salvation. Because if you are not certain of your salvation, you are not going to preach the true gospel to lost people. Knowing they might hang you upside down on a cross. And Jesus said, a person who fears his salvation is not fit for the kingdom. Because a person who fears cannot be perfected in love. It's impossible. And there is only one reason why a person would fear his salvation, especially if that person knows that Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, is his salvation. Why would you fear a person who took your place on the cross for all your sins? And if he was willing, while you were still his enemies, if he was willing to die for you while we were still his enemies, how much more is he willing to give us his eternal life? How much love can he give us? He came to love the daylights out of us so that he could make us white as snow, so that we could be his bride-to-be. To live with him forever in an eternal kingdom. And if we fear our salvation, it's because we allow ourselves to be deceived by a false teacher who knocked our block off, who knocked us off our premise. By telling us, shame on you, you scuzzbag par excellence. And shame on you what you did in the past and who you were. And now you got to jump through hoops to please God on the last day of judgment. But the Word of God says there is no one righteous. Not one. We are all guilty of sin, including that self-righteous Pharisee that keeps calling you a scuzzbag. He's just as guilty. And that's why I'm always telling you guys when I'm up here speaking, don't you dare believe a word I'm telling you unless you've checked it out with the Word of God first. Make sure that I'm on the same page with God, because I might have bumped into a wolf in sheep's clothing in a local church. And I might have gotten my feet dirty by picking up a false doctrine. And I could be giving you poison from the wrong vine and not even know it. That's why Peter tells us, I'm sorry. That's why God has to do the saving. Because man doesn't know what he's doing to save himself. If we could save ourselves, why do we need a Savior? And like Bruce told us last week, when God does something, it's always permanent. Because when God does the saving, it's always perfect, it's always sufficient, it's always forever, and it's always for free. All we have to do is accept it. That's why more and more of our local churches are getting conditional instead of spiritual. Conditional just means a social gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him, the second Adam, should not perish, but have conditional life. That's why we can't try to see God's word with these eyes. You won't see it. See how our mind plays tricks on us? I better read that again, but the way God wrote it. I don't want nobody's blood on my hands. I'm in enough trouble. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Are you in Christ, and Christ is in you? Do you know that? Then guess where you're living your Christian life? In Christ. So the Christian life isn't how well God sees us living our life, because God is patient. He knows we can't live a perfect life. He knows we're still under construction. But he knows he's still going to finish the job no matter what. So it's not how well we live our life on this earth, it's where we are living our life. We're living our Christian life in Christ. And because he's an eternal Son of God, then we are living our eternal life already in Christ. In the eternal Son of Man instead of the conditional Son of Man called Adam, still trying to do it my way. Jesus told his disciples before he ascended into heaven. I'm sorry, I should have said before he ascended back into heaven. Because you cannot have a second coming unless, of course, there was already a first coming. And that's why the false teachers, the mockers, all scoff at his second coming. And I was wondering Thursday night, why? Why would anybody scoff at his second coming? And then Sandy gave me the answer. Well, we were having our leaders meeting on Thursday night. It's because they don't believe in the resurrection. If Jesus is still dead, he's not coming back. That's why we have to pray for our Jewish friends crossed away from us, who scoff at his second coming, because they don't even believe he came the first time. That's why if you can't believe he came the first time to be your salvation, then you can't be saved unless you're willing to repent and accept him as your salvation before he comes back the second time to judge. And he's going to judge those who are still lost, and he's going to judge those who are saved. And the only ones who are saved are those who are in God's church, the ecclesia. Now, God's church is not a building. It's the people with the Spirit of God living in them is the church. Made up of both born-again Jews, born-again Gentiles. And we could all be sitting in the same building, lost and saved, and we wouldn't know it. In a church that's not saved, and it could be even your own mother. Before I was saved at the age of 45, I had a religion, but I was a false convert. And I knew about God, but I didn't know God because his spirit wasn't living in me. Because we were told that salvation was a thing called a process instead of a person called Jesus Christ the Lord. But the Bible says just the opposite. Salvation is a person called the risen Lord. But learning what it means to be saved is the process. In other words, the premise in my church was backwards. Instead of having the horse before the cart, we had the cart before the horse. And that's why you couldn't understand the Word of God. In other words, we were doing it our way instead of doing it God's way. And eventually, I quit that church because I thought it was an act of futility. Because no matter how hard I tried to be a good Christian, I was still in bondage to my sins. Some of you who were in that same system know exactly what I'm talking about, especially some of you who gave your testimonies, how alcohol had a grip on you and you couldn't shake it. And when you were giving your testimony, my heart was going out to you because I knew exactly how you felt. When you got drunk, you felt guilty. So you ran to God knowing He was faithful to forgive you. And you promised Him you wouldn't sin again. And so you went out trying not to sin in the energy of your own flesh. And 3 days later, you found yourself on that bar stool all over again, drinking the same whiskey all over again. So then you felt guilty again, and you repeated the process. You went back to God. He forgave you. So you got rid of your guilt, but the forgiveness couldn't get rid of the bondage that you were still under. And then you just kept repeating that same process, and every time you promised God you wouldn't sin anymore, you kept sinning. And then you started thinking, I can't quit my drinking because God is angry at me. He doesn't love me anymore, or else He would have made me quit drinking. And then you found yourself between a rock and a hard place. And you were wishing you weren't even been born. But then there was a man out there who was willing to love you enough and is willing to present the good news of the gospel with three little words. It is finished. And when you finally exchanged your social gospel for a relationship with the risen Lord, and it was only by the grace and the mercy of God to give us His Son so that we could have a relationship with Him, so that His resurrected life could come and live in you. And it wasn't until then did you realize that that resurrected life that was living in you finally gave you the victory and freed you from the bondage of that sin called lusting after alcohol. It's resurrection power living in us that frees us from the bondage of sin called lusting after nicotine or lusting after Mary Jane, marijuana, or lusting after Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, LSD, or cocaine or heroin or any other drug that the evil one loves to keep us in bondage with. It's His resurrection power living in us that finally frees us from the bondage of sin called lusting after pornography. It's the grace of God in His relationship with us that gives us the resurrection power living in us, that frees us from the bondage of sin called lusting after people of the opposite sex. It's only by the grace and mercy of God, because He loves us so much, that He gave us the privilege to have a relationship with His Son, so that resurrection power that lives in us through Christ gives us the freedom to release us from the bondage of sin called lusting after people of the same sex. It's His resurrected power living in us that gives us the freedom from the bondage of sin called legalism. It's the resurrection power that gives us the freedom to free us from the bondage of sin called false doctrine. Because it's resurrection power that saves us. It's the resurrection that keeps us saved. And it's His resurrected power that gets us from this earth into the third heaven when He calls us home. Because I got to get there in the blink of an eye. And if I don't get there in the blink of an eye, then that's His way of saying, I'm sorry, Stosh, but you missed the boat. You missed that narrow gate called, you have been forgiven. Because you were too busy socializing at the broad gate with false teachers. The reason God has to do it that way is because He doesn't share His glory with anybody. The reason salvation has to be for free is so that He can get all the glory. Because He's the only one who deserves the glory. And it's for free. And all we have to do is swallow our conditional pride and accept the eternal things of God. Please pray with me. Lord, this was probably the hardest study we ever did. And these two books are so important, especially in today's world on this side of the cross. Because there's so many false teachers out there. We thank You for Faith Walkers, where we can meet and open up the Word of God. And use the Word of God as the straight truth, so that You could set us free from bondage. And when the Son of God sets a man free from the bondage of fearing death, then and only then can he be perfected in love. We got three questions today.